Before we get started with today's episode, a quick word from our sponsor. If you're like me, you're probably doing a little spring cleaning, not just around the house, but around your business too. Well, why not reduce your digital clutter with NetSuite by Oracle? You can reduce costs and headaches in the process. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and with one source of truth. And with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, go from many to just one. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have made the move. Cut costs, boost performance, and reduce digital clutter. That is a smart move for sure. So by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just head to netsuite.com/SPI. That's netsuite.com/SPI, netsuite.com/SPI. Hey, we have an amazing event coming up, the Expert Advantage Workshop Series, where every day for a week, starting on Monday, May 20th, it's myself and another expert coming on to present to you about various kinds of things to help you with your brand and your business. Our brand new experts in residence and pro are going to be there to co-host these workshops with me. And you're not going to want to miss it. You'll have a chance to ask all of them questions, and it's completely free to join. All you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Wednesday, May 22nd, we're going to be talking trademarks, copyrights, how to know when to do it, what IP can you do it with, and the common pitfalls that most people fall into when it comes to intellectual property 101 with Yasmin Salman Hamdan. And you're not going to want to miss that on Wednesday, May 22nd. And then finally, to finish off the expert week, on Thursday, May 23rd, we're going to be talking with Pamela Slim about how to monetize and scale your IP and position it and package it in a way that is unlike anything you've really been taught before. Incredible value from Pamela and all of our experts on our Expert Advantage Week. And all you have to do to sign up and join and get all the links that you need is smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Again, one more time, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Join us on our Expert Advantage Workshop Series. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 78.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, who gets really nervous before public speaking but does it anyway, Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Plus, their matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You can ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love how simple Indeed is, and it manages everything. Again, all in one place, from the screenings to the messagings, interviewing. You can do it all from Indeed, which makes it super easy to hire the right person that you need. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what's up? This is Pat Flynn. And yes, I still get nervous even after all these years speaking in public. And there's something to be said for that. You know, I'd get scared if I wasn't nervous. And I was probably the most nervous I ever was this past week in front of a crowd of 180 people here in San Diego. And it was a speech I've been really, really nervous about for, you know, over a year now, but also looking forward to it. It was a best man speech for my best friend. And you know what? This is going to sound silly, but I prepared for it in the exact same way that I would a conference presentation. And no, I didn't have a PowerPoint or a keynote presentation, although that, thinking about that, that actually would have been really funny. You know, here are five reasons why I think this couple is perfect for each other. No, but I mean, you know, thinking about what I wanted to achieve with the speech first, that was a big part of it. Techniques for grabbing people's attention during the presentation, or excuse me, during the speech. The first thing I did, for example, was get everyone's attention by having everyone clink their glasses. And you know, when they clink their glasses, the couple kisses, and that was sort of an attention grabber for me. I even went into the room early to see where I was going to speak, so I wouldn't be surprised by anything. So I knew exactly where to stand, and the DJ actually gave me a mic to practice with, and man, it totally paid off. I mean, once I got on stage, I wasn't nervous anymore. I just did my thing, and what was really cool was a number of people came up to me afterwards and was like, "Pat, that was one of the best man speeches I've ever heard." And I was so thankful for that, because I really wanted to deliver for my best friend and his new wife. And so to Neil Medjoy, I don't believe you listen to my podcast, but if for some reason you ever stumble upon this one, I love you both. And just know that my family and I will always, always be here for you, no matter what. And for those of you listening out there, you know, thank you for giving me a moment to share that with you. It was a really... you know, it was really important for me to deliver this speech in the way that I did. And these are really, really important people to me. So I just wanted to give them a shout out here in the podcast. And now let's get down to Bee's Nass. This particular episode, I'll tell you, seriously gives all other episodes I've recorded thus far a run for its money as far as the best podcast episode to date. I mean, I know there's been a lot of favorites. I mean, you may have your own favorite from the past 77 episodes, but many of those favorite ones, or the ones that I know are most favorited, are the sort of inspirational, motivational ones, you know, things that make you get off your seat and get stuff done. And those are incredibly important, of course. But I know also a lot of you truly like the exact strategies that will get you results too. And that's what this episode is about. I'm very happy to welcome my good friend Clay Collins on the show today. Clay is the co-founder of a very, very successful company called Leadbright, which helps people generate more email subscribers through various tools that he and his team has built. And these are amazing tools. And through his products and his collection of data, you know, with these products, I mean, he's been able to see exactly, again, through data, what kinds of strategies and methods and headlines and colors and buttons and everything that converts the most website traffic into email subscribers. I mean, we're talking all about conversion optimization today. And again, specific strategies to help you turn the traffic you already have, or the traffic that you're going to get in the future, into more subscribers. And you'll hear in the beginning an example of what this kind of mindset, what this kind of thing can do for you. I mean, a lot of people who want more email subscribers, and we all want more email subscribers, we'll try to get more of that by getting more traffic to our site. And that makes sense, right? I mean, you do campaigns and guest posts and push via social media and all that kind of stuff, which is fine. But thinking about what happens when your traffic comes to your site can help you get even more subscribers, because converting more... you know, I mean, just think about it. It's much easier to double your conversion rate than it is to double the amount of traffic you get. And again, Clay will go over that and the kinds of things he has learned along the way that we can implement too. One of Clay's tools, which we will talk a lot about during the episode, is called Lead Pages. It's an incredibly wicked tool to help you create landing pages where you can go and collect email subscribers. Whether you have a WordPress site or not, you can use this tool. You can select from a library of templates of all sorts of different types of landing pages, from ones that allow you to put a video on it with an email opt-in form, others with, you know, a lead magnet like an ebook or an opt-in bribe of some kind, webinar registration pages, thank you pages, download pages, 404 pages. I mean, it's crazy what this tool can do. And I have to tell you a few things about the relationship that Clay and I have together just before we go on, and also to be completely transparent with you. For one, I've recently come on as an advisor for Clay and his company, and I'm super stoked about that because I have a unique opportunity to truly guide, at least a little bit, the direction of Lead Pages and how it can help entrepreneurs like us, which is really cool. And secondly, you know, I wouldn't come on as an advisor. I mean, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this with another company, although I have been asked to become an advisor for other companies before, and I've declined. And I declined because I didn't truly believe in the products, and I didn't really know the people behind them. However, Lead Pages, I feel, and what Clay is doing here in this industry is a huge game changer, I feel. It has been for me already, and I'm using it right now as we speak. I'm using Lead Pages. Now, I don't want you to think this is just a show to help promote this tool. I mean, I'm talking about it, and yes, I use it. Of course, I'm going to promote it because I know it's going to help. But in this session, Clay goes over several specific conversion optimization strategies that will help you increase your email opt-in rate, whether you have or ever get Lead Pages or not. You do not need Lead Pages in order to do these things that we're going to talk about. But he did say something interesting during the show, and you'll catch this, sometime when you listen. He said something like, and I don't know verbatim what it was, but you'll remember it. He said, "If I find a strategy that helps you increase your conversion rates, please don't blame me for putting it into Lead Pages to make it easier for you to implement. That's what it's there for." And you know, he's right. I mean, that's what this tool was built for. So, and again, you know, I'm just letting you know. And I mean, it's like, this tool is like the difference between doing keyword research manually with Google AdWords keyword tool, which you can do and become very good at, and you don't need anything else, versus, you know, doing keyword research with something like Longtail Pro or Market Samurai. You know, it can all be done for free, but these tools help you do it faster and better. If you want to see Lead Pages in action right now, I actually have a couple of them set up promoting an event that Clay and I will be doing together later this week, an actual conversion optimization workshop. We decided to put this together because we had way more that we could have talked about on this particular episode, but we ran out of time. You'll see it went a little over my usual time, but you know, you could chunk this up if you want, but I recommend listening all the way through. It's so good. Plus, we wanted to show you visually, you know, on this webinar type deal, the types of pages and the things that work instead of just mentioning like on audio. So if you'd like to check out that webinar/event, it's totally free. Head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session78 and register there. You'll see a link where you can register for the event. There's actually a couple of links because it happens twice, once on Thursday and once on Friday after this recording is published. And that's so we could cover more time zones and get more people in there. Because, I mean, already the seats are filling up fast. I've just mentioned it briefly in a blog post and on social media. And also, you'll get to download all of the things that Clay is giving away in this episode. You'll mention all the things he's going to give away later once you listen through. And it's crazy. I mean, he's thrown in so much stuff. And again, it's the stuff you don't even need Lead Pages for. He's throwing in the HTML version of the highest converting landing page ever, and other cool things like that that you can install. So again, check all of that out at smartpassiveincome.com/session78. It's all there plus more. And I hope to see you on the webinar. And if you're listening to this in the future, after the webinar has passed, the live one, the replays will be there at smartpassiveincome.com/session78, but you'll miss out on the giveaways that we're doing live on the broadcast. So I recommend you go on live if you can. Anyway, I've talked enough here. Let's get right into the interview with Clay, and he's going to start off by talking about how his company, Leadbrite, the maker of Lead Pages and also Lead Player, which I use as well, and I know a lot of you use too. He's going to talk about how the mind shift, or the shift from a traffic getting mindset or mode to a conversion optimization mode, made dramatic results in his bottom line. So let's get right into it. Enjoy and be prepared to take lots of notes. All right, what's up, Clay, my man? Welcome to the show.
Patrick, I am so thrilled to be here and excited for some of this content that we're about to get into.
Dude, I'm really excited. And for those of you listening, you know, this isn't really an interview about Clay's story, although we are going to get into the his story a little bit, and mostly about how he's grown his company from, I mean, it's just ridiculous. He's going to tell you and share the exact numbers with you. But this is going to be sort of like a you know, like Clay and I are just chatting, like we're having a little Skype chat together, which we often have. Actually, we have a Skype chat once a week, and you're just a fly on a wall listening in. And actually, Clay, I mean, was telling me about some of the stuff he wanted to make sure we go over. And it's, I mean, this has the potential to be the best podcast in the SPI lineup so far. So I know that's saying a lot because there's been a lot of great interviews, and I've said that a couple times before, but just, I mean, you're going to see. I mean, Clay was talking about giveaways and downloads and worksheets for you. We're going to talk about some really interesting sort of strategies for building your list for lead generation. And I mean, that's what Clay is an expert at. That's what he's built software for. Clay, just again, thank you so much for being here. I mean, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your company and the growth of it and how it applies to what we're talking about today?
Basically, the premise behind what I'm going to share here is that back in the day, I wanted to double the revenue for our company, and I wanted to do it in a short period of time. So what I did was, the first thing I tried to do was double the amount of traffic that we were receiving, because the premise was that if I could double the amount of traffic that we get, then all things being equal, I would double the amount of revenue that we receive. So I went out and I did all kinds of like search engine optimization and kind of social media stuff. And I even bought some ads. And what I found out was that it's actually really difficult to double to 2x the amount of traffic that you get without spending a whole bunch of money. So I was like, well, that's not going to work. So the next thing that I thought is that maybe we could double the amount of revenue we receive in our business by doubling the conversion rate on our sales pages. So I went out and I kind of went to the word processor and I started like rewriting like some of the sales pages and the sales videos. And what I found out was that like I actually hate doing that. Once I write a sales letter, I just don't want to touch it again, like ever. It was already kind of optimized. So I realized like that isn't going to be the way that we double our revenue. So what I finally settled on was I realized that if I could actually not double the amount of traffic and not double our conversion rate, but if I could double the percentage of people who came to our website who ended up opting in to our email list, that actually was the fastest way to double our revenue. So we actually did that. I went to our main opt-in page and I kind of just played around with it one evening. It took me about a half an hour. And doing that, just in that one evening, playing around with some things, I doubled the conversion rate on our opt-in page. And that month, we actually got a 5x increase in our revenue. So I was like, well, if this works, maybe I should do this to more pages. So the next month, I went in and I tweaked some more of our opt-in pages. And I actually added some more opt-in pages. And that month, we just about doubled our revenue again. And I was like, wow, this is fantastic. So then I went to more of our websites and I added more opt-in pages and I tweaked the pages that already existed. And that next month, we got, it was really through the roof. I can't do the math in my head, but we jumped up about 4 to 5 times. So all told, we like doubled our revenue, then we tripled our revenue the next month, and then we like doubled it again, and then we like tripled it again. So by the time we were done, I can't say that math is right. What I can say in terms of double, then triple, then double, then triple, because I'm bad at math, but what I can say is that from the time we started this to the time we ended, we had a 22x increase in revenue. And last month in our business, we did about $250,000 just in that one month. And it's recurring revenue, so it only goes up, right? That's not like we had some launch and then it's going to be over with. Like, that was our revenue last month, was about $250,000.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. I mean, and you were probably seeing a little bit of an increase in traffic over that time, right? But you were saying that just doubling the amount of people who convert on to your email list, and then you have a sales funnel through your email list, that has been the main source of the revenue increase.
Yes, and so a big part of this is actually that we were getting increases in our traffic, not doubling, but we were increasing our traffic because we found out that when we email people about a new blog post, for example, right, when we email them, they actually come to that site and they tweet about it and they share it on Facebook. And so they actually recruit more people to come to our website who then end up opting in. So the next time we have another blog post or the next time we have something to announce, there's actually more people to announce it to. And then those people end up recruiting other people on social media. So this actually was not just the fastest way to double our revenue, all things being equal, but this was actually what we found to be the fastest way to grow our traffic.
Dude, that is so awesome. I always tell people to email their list whenever they come out with a blog post, but this is huge. What else are we going to talk about today?
Would you mind if I just shared, because I kind of want to geek out on this. I was so stoked about having the opportunity to be on this podcast that I spent all morning kind of preparing a mini course about this stuff. So would you mind if I shared a little bit about what we're going to share today on this podcast?
No, not at all. I mean, for those of you listening, Clay and I have been friends for a good time now, and I'm actually an advisor for his company, and we were both geeking out together about this podcast, and so it's really funny to hear you say that you're geeking out, and you actually created sort of a mini course to go into this podcast. I mean, I didn't ask Clay to do that. He just did this on his own, and so I'm really excited to hear what you're bringing.
Yeah. And so just for anyone listening, I know I sound super enthusiastic. And a lot of times when people hear someone who's super enthusiastic, they're like, oh, crap, there's going to be like a sales pitch or something like that. And so I want to let you know that everything I'm teaching here, like we're just giving away. There's nothing that I'm going to teach you where I'm like, oh, there's like, you know, 4 marketing secrets and I'm only going to tell you 2 of them so that you'll buy my book of marketing secrets and get the other 2 secrets. Like I have no agenda here to hold back any information at all because I don't really sell information. So for anyone listening in the comments, if you have any questions, I will literally answer every single comment. And I have no motivation whatsoever to like not tell you something so that I can sell you a book or a course or coaching program or whatever. So here's what we're just going to give away. This is everything here is going to be free. The first thing I'm going to give you is I'm going to make available for download our highest converting landing page across the entire lead pages business. So everyone uses these landing page templates with our software. And we have the one that's on average converting the highest amongst all of our customers. So the average opt-in rate amongst all of our customers across the entire platform is the highest for this template. And I'm going to give it to you to download for free. And I'm going to tell you how you can get that in this podcast. So nothing required at all. The second thing I'm going to do is we're going to talk about why actually hiding your opt-in boxes is going to get you more opt-ins. So making fewer places for people to opt-in on your website, why that's actually going to get you the fastest list growth. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the exact copy for the best converting lead magnet that we have. So I'm just going to actually tell you exactly what to write for a landing page to get the same kind of opt-in rates that we're getting. And finally, we're going to, in this podcast, build together a lead magnet and landing page that you can use in your business. At least we'll have all of the copy written. That's sort of my goal by the time we're done.
Awesome. Awesome. And for those of you listening, the download for the best converting landing page, he's going to give that to you in HTML. So you don't even need the lead pages software in order to use it because, it's right there for you in HTML. And also, the stuff about the, actually hiding your opt-in box. I mean, that goes against what several of the previous guests have said and people who have been on my podcast and on the blog before, who have mentioned, you got to put your opt-in box in more, in several places to get the most opt-in. So I'm really curious to hear what you say about that. And again, this is a little bit different than a lot of the podcasts that we've had. This is more of a course. So think about it like you're learning from Clay and I, and mostly Clay, of course, because he's the lead gen expert, about why things work. And the really interesting thing about this is Clay knows what works because his software and his company keeps track of the data across this whole platform of all the different template in templates in their library. So he knows exactly because of the data. It tells him what works and what doesn't, which I think is so cool because I don't know anyone else in the sort of lead pages or landing page, squeeze page sort of niche or industry who's keeping track of things like that. So I think that's really, really cool, Clay.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited about it. I think historically a lot of people have known what works for them. And what I like about what we're doing is that we can actually tell you not just what works for us or what works for a friend, but we can tell you on average across our entire platform what's working and what isn't. So we run these like platform-wide experiments where we kind of see what works for everyone on average. So it's not just sort of our opinion or like one use case in one market. It's kind of like generalized across the board. And that's what's exciting to me about what we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So what should we get into? Should we just start off with the training?
Yeah, well, I think even before we talk about, you know, lead generation,
sure,
and building an email list, we should probably talk about why that's important in the first place.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, I'd really love to. So I have my thoughts and opinions on this, but I'd really like to hear your thoughts on this. I mean, it seems like your audience and your email list, people might think the blog is your most valuable asset. I'm willing to probably guess that your email list is probably your most valuable asset. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Actually, I would agree with that because, I mean, for a number of different reasons, and those of you on my list know that I actually don't sell directly on my email list, but I do use my email for marketing, and I do it in sort of an indirect way, and I do that specifically because of the market that I'm in and what people are used to seeing. I always try to do something different. So, I mean, the email list is important for a number of reasons. One, it's probably the best way to drive a lot of traffic to your blog posts. You were talking a little bit about that earlier. I know Derek Halpern's been going off about the importance of email to drive traffic. And a lot of people think they just need to collect email addresses to sell stuff, but you can actually use your email address or your email list, and you should be using it to let people know that you have something worth looking at or something worth viewing. And that's something that I've recently learned because I've been holding back on my list quite a bit. But lately, every sort of really important post I come out with, I share that through my email list, and I'll get 20,000-30,000 views in that single day simply because I'm sharing that through my email list. So it's great for traffic building. Secondly, it's very personal. You know, people check their inboxes every day. Some people won't let an email go unread. And so being able to communicate with your audience through emails is so valuable. And you can communicate with people on a more personal, so almost one-to-one level. Even if you're sending a broadcast email to hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people, that person is getting that email from you. And when you can like put their name in it and say, hey, name, and give them something of value, you know, it's going to be worth a lot to you and your authority level in that person's eyes. But most importantly, I feel the email list is incredibly important because it's your list. I mean, and you could take that anywhere with you, you know, and you have the most control over your list and your people that way. For example, back in March, my site went down for an entire week. And luckily, it came back up. But if it didn't, I still had my list to go with me wherever I went. So I could have set up shop somewhere else, set up a new website, and just email my list and tell them, hey, my site is down. You know, it got hacked. I can't bring it back up, but here's my new site. And immediately, I would just pick up from almost right where I left off. And even during that downtime, I was still able to communicate with my audience about what was going on and give them updates on what was happening, and also continue to provide value through my autoresponder and broadcast emails at the same time. So those are really my top three reasons. And I don't really come from a selling background, and I know that, you know, lead gen is perfect for that. So I'd love to hear your thoughts and your reasons for the importance of building, you know, an actual email list.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think about it as much as lead generation. I know that our product is called Lead Pages, but I think of it more about audience building. And I think about sort of like what you said, where your site went down, but you still had your email list. And that's sort of what I found is that, you know, Facebook could shut down your page. Google could decide that it doesn't want to run your ads anymore. Twitter could, you know, suddenly, you know, decide that it wants to boot you out of the system or whatever. But at the end of the day, and someone could file a complaint about your website or your hosting service could go down. But at the end of the day, the only thing that you really can keep that's absolutely yours is your email list, right? Like you can post something to Twitter and maybe some percentage of the people who are on Twitter at that time will like see what you're doing. Or maybe you post something to Facebook and the Facebook algorithm decides that you're like important enough to show it to some people. But at some point, that might not happen. And, you know, really a much higher percentage of people who get your email will click through and check out your blog post or see what you're doing or engage in a relationship with you in some way versus, you know, Facebook or Twitter or an RSS feed or whatever's going on. So in my opinion, the email address from a relationship building point of view, from a business building point of view, the email address is far and away like the most important asset. I mean, that's where people go to build personal relationships, to check on other people. And for us, we found that it's at the very like heart and soul of what we do is email. So I think the story about your website going down kind of illustrates this perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've made some incredible connections with people through my email and the email lists that I collected. I mean, I use my email to communicate with my audience as well and get information back from them that they might not necessarily share on public forums like Facebook and Twitter. You know, one of the first emails in my autoresponder sequence, for example, is asking people, you know, like, what do you want me to write a blog post about? Or what are you struggling with? And I get a constant stream of comments from people that answer that question and just tell me exactly what they need, you know, information about. So I don't even have to think anymore. It's just coming straight to me.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. So so maybe now we should talk about, if you're cool with this, I kind of just want to just share some like super valuable stuff and get into the nitty gritty and just like super actionable things that people can do today. Actually, like today, I would encourage you to implement this first step. I think there's a lot of people who chalk up business to like 100% like internal issues and, you know, sort of thinking through these big picture things. But what I found, what's been my truth, is that business has been a series of like very specific steps that I take that I held myself accountable to accomplish certain things. And what I want to share with you as sort of our first tip is kind of the highest leverage thing that everyone listening can do, listening to this podcast can do today, that is going to probably have the biggest impact on your business that, you know, over anything else you could do this month. So maybe we could start out with that.
Yeah, let's go big. Let's start
big. Okay, cool. So the first tip, and it's going to sound simple at first, but it's kind of deceptive in that way. So the first tip is that I'm going to encourage everyone listening to create a resource guide opt-in page. Okay, a resource guide opt-in page. So what I mean by this is that, you know, a lot of people come up with huge courses that they give away, or they want to ask people, they want to give away maybe a very long ebook. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is give away simply a list of tools or resources that will benefit your audience or your potential audience. So basically, the highest converting evergreen landing page in our business is a page that says this. Okay, here's what it says. Free report reveals the top 5 dirt cheap tools I use to create all my videos, including my $80 HD video camera. So people come to this page. It's got literally one sentence of copy that took me 3 minutes to write. And when they opt in, they get a list of 5 resources for creating videos. That's it. It took me about 15 minutes to write down the list of resources that I recommend people have. And it took me about 3 minutes to write the copy. And here's what kills me. I've literally spent a month before writing an ebook that people can get when they opt into my list. So it's like a 50-page ebook. And I've spent about the same amount of time, about 3 weeks, creating a free video course. And yet, a simple list of resources, a simple list of 5 resources, has built my list more than, you know, that I, and it took me, again, 15 minutes to 20 minutes to do all this. The simple list of resources has gotten more people to opt in than a huge long ebook or a very long video course that had like worksheets and transcripts and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So why is this true? Why is a simple list of resources that we give away. Why is this the best performing landing page we've ever used? Well, the first reason is that it doesn't require someone to process too much information, right? Someone doesn't have to watch a 3-minute video or read an entire page of text in order to make a decision. They only have to decide if they want, you know, my list of the 5 dirt cheap tools I use to create my videos. Do they want it or not? So that's the first reason. The second reason, and this is really, really, really important, the second reason why this gets so many people to join my list is that everyone wants to know the tools that you're using. And here's why. As human beings, we have this belief that if we only had the tools that the pros use, that we would get the same results that the pros use. And in a lot of cases, that's actually true. We would much, much, much rather acquire a tool than acquire a skill. And if you look at the best-selling issues of magazines like Golf Digest and Running Magazine and Camping Magazine, or like Photography Magazine, the best-selling issues of those magazines are the gear guides, right? The list of the top golf clubs if you want to hit a long drive, and the list of the best like putting clubs or whatever. Or like Photography Magazine, like what are the best lenses for, you know, nature photography? What are the best like point-and-shoot cameras for a family vacation? Like everyone wants to know the tools because we'd much rather acquire a tool than acquire a skill, and because we believe that if we have the same tools that the pros use, we'd get the same results. And honestly, we like buying good stuff that's going to help us out because you can just make a lot more traction or get a lot further that way. So that's another reason why this works, is because we're giving people specific tools, not ideas, not concepts, but tools that we've actually used. The next reason why this list of resources works so well is because a lot of people are experiencing information overload. And the last thing they need is another like 50-page ebook to download, or an entire, you know, like 20 minutes of video with a talking head rambling on. They just don't want that. If they can get the same amount of value from a list of resources, they'd rather do that, right? Long content is actually perceived as a pain in the rear end to a lot of people because it just represents a greater boundary or a greater barrier to getting what they want. Also, this kind of page, this resource list opt-in page, outperforms video bribes because the perceived value of video is really going down a lot recently due to all the videos that are on YouTube, or, you know, launch after launch after launch with 15-minute kind of boring talking head videos. This also, and this is kind of a really interesting thing here. This continues to blow my mind. A list of resources outperforms, get this, outperforms opt-ins to get a free coaching session. I tried this once. I gave away literally a half an hour of my time to everyone who opted in. Mm-hmm. And we actually got a higher opt-in rate for the list of free resources. And that just goes to show that there is no correlation between the amount of time it takes you to create a lead magnet and the opt-in rate that you're going to get. There is no correlation between the value of what you're giving away and the opt-in rate. So I think a lot of times people think that they have to like kind of lock themselves into a cave and create some like insanely huge like free thing to give away, which there's a time and place for that. You've obviously found that. But in terms of just pure list build and statistics, this works better than anything we've ever seen. And so the time to benefit ratio for creating one of these resource list opt-in pages is huge. And if you're kind of getting, if this sounds really conceptual, we're actually going to, if you're okay with this, Pat, we're going to link below to an exact picture and actually the HTML for one of these pages. And I'm going to link to a few of these resource list opt-in bribes where you, or lead magnets, where you list a bunch of resources that are appropriate to your industry.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, on the show notes, smartpassiveincome.com/session78. This is going to be the podcast with the most resources ever. So you'll see that. And there's a few things I want to comment on really quick because you know, this is really interesting. One of the points you mentioned about the list of the resources and the fact that, you know, people want the tools. I mean, that's very, very obvious when you go to specific blogs and you look at their most popular posts. A lot of the most popular posts, for example, are like the top plugins to use, or, you know, tool like 19 tips and resources to do this and that. And to put that behind an email opt-in just makes complete sense. And I love, you know, I spent a lot of time on eBooks the Smart Way, which a lot of people know is my lead magnet currently, to incentivize people to join my list. And that's been downloaded over 50,000 times. But I did spend about a month and a half creating that thing. And it is a long guide, and I'm pretty sure not everybody who opts in reads it, or they might, like you said, get it and see how much content there is in it, because I would put everything into it. And then, yes, they're going to be overwhelmed, but I love this idea of creating just a simple list of five resources, because I know a lot of you listening don't have a lead magnet, and you should. And a lot of you don't have it because, you might think that it might need, you know, a month of your time to create. But no, it just like half a day, even just a couple hours. My question to you is, how is this list of resources delivered? So people opt in, is this on another page, like a hidden page on the website? Is it in a PDF, or how is it given to those who subscribe?
Yeah, I recommend a PDF, and you email it to everyone who opts in. So the first email that they get after they opt in gives this to them. So we've automated for our lead pages. You don't have to have lead pages to do this. For our lead pages customers, we've automated the giving away actual lead magnets. But it's something that you can do with everything, including AWeber or whatever you're using, where you can send out an email that goes to everyone who opts in that has a link to a file that people can download, or it can be an attachment to that email as well.
Yeah. And what I love about that is, you know, more often than not, these tools are going to help people get immediate results. Yep. I mean, for my opt-in, lead magnet, you know, it's an ebook about how to write an ebook, and you can't write an ebook in, you know, a week. It takes a long time. So people aren't going to see immediate results from it. Whereas a list of five resources, I mean, a few of them people might be able to just, you know, use them immediately and see results. And what that's going to do is it's going to help, your subscribers be like, wow, this guy knows exactly what he's talking about, or this person just knows exactly what I need. I'm already seeing results. I can't wait till the next email.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that, you know, the headspace of someone who is just getting into something is very, it's like they're confused, right? Like someone who wants to create a blog, like, what? How do you create a blog? Like, what hosting company should I use? And then they don't even know that there's such a thing as WordPress, or that they need to have plugins installed. And so just getting people up to speed with all the things you've tested and used is just an immense value. Some people spend like weeks or months just playing around with different technologies. And if you could say, you know, here's exactly what you need to get started. Here are the free things. Here are some of the things that cost some money. And if you do have to pay for this, here's why I recommend it. But just catching people up to speed with what they need is really important. Like I think about, when I started yoga, like I didn't know anything about yoga. Should I get special pants? Is there a pad? Can I use my, can I use the exercise mat that I normally did? Like, do I need to do, you know, like there's just all this confusion about the gear, right? Because that's the first thing that people think about is like, what specifically do I need to get started? And you can become a pretty quick authority by just giving people sort of like the easiest, like cheapest, like kind of baseline entry level list of things they need to get started. And that builds a lot of trust, and it also delivers a whole lot of value.
Yeah. I mean, I just ran a half marathon a couple days ago. I'm actually still feeling it in my knees. But if I were to create a site about marathon training, I can imagine, you know, one of these giveaways, a list of resources being the top five resources to help you through your next race. And that could be, you know, the right shoes, the right sort of pouch to wear that holds your stuff, the right sort of, what do they call it? These energy goo gel things that you have during the race. So, you know, all those types of things I wish I knew. And if they were all in one easy to grab spot, I would definitely trade my email address for that.
Yeah, for sure. So that actually brings up a really good point. Like, let's talk about how people, like, just sort of copywriting around this. And I'll make sort of this list of titles for different industries. I'll make this available just as part of the course that we're creating here, sort of live as we move through this material. So sure. If you're a realist, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say this is good because I know the copywriting piece of it is one of the most difficult parts. I mean, people can create one of these opt-in things, but you know, how to really say the right words to get people to want to download it. That's what's really important. So I'm really glad we're getting into this. Sorry.
Yeah, totally. So I think it's really good to hear a lot of examples. So let's start out with like the real, like let's say you're a real estate agent. If you're a real estate agent, you might, and I just came up with these off the top of my head. I'm not a real estate agent, but I might create something like this. This would be the one sentence of copy on my opt-in page. It would say this: resource guide, the top five safest credit boosting home loans of this year. Like I recently wanted to buy, you know, bought a house. And I wanted to know, like, how should I think about home loans? Like, what should I do here? And so if someone put a list of those together, that would be awesome. If you're a dentist, you could do something like this. Buyer's guide, the top five electric toothbrushes of this year, including the one that I use. If I were on my dentist site and he's like, yeah, here's the best electric toothbrushes to use, and here's actually the one that I use, I would completely opt in to get that. And then after that, I would continue to do this newsletter, and I'd always think of him whenever I had a tooth problem. Mm-hmm. If you're a life coach, you could do something like this. App guide, the top four iPhone apps for increasing your productivity, including the one that I use every day or the ones that I use every day. And here's this last kind of headline for this or copy for this is actually like the most effective. So let's say you're a fitness expert. You could do something like this. This would be the copy for your page. The only three pieces of exercise equipment you need in your home, hint, they all weigh less than 5 pounds. And the reason why that's so powerful is because you've said something very counterintuitive. You've said that the list of the three pieces of exercise equipment people need, you've said that all these things weigh less than 5 pounds. And that's counterintuitive. We usually think of exercise equipment as weighing a lot. And so when you say something that challenges people's assumptions, it sort of tells them that they're going to really truly learn something new when they opt in. Mm-hmm. The biggest killer of conversions is when people think they already know what you're going to tell them. And so if you can say something counterintuitive, like, hey, all of these pieces of exercise equipment weigh less than 5 pounds, that makes them think, maybe there's actually something new and of value here. So that sort of counterintuitive thing really drives opt-ins. Another example of a counterintuitive headline is something like this. And a marketing agency might do this, or an SEO company. So the top five digital marketing tools for local businesses, hint, the three best ones are free, right? It is counterintuitive to think that the three best resources would be the free ones, because we usually assume that the best resources cost money. So it makes people think, maybe I'm going to learn something here that's new. And so those kinds of like counterintuitive spins can really have a huge impact on the opt-in rate. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I've noticed a formula, a little bit of a formula in each of those. You know, in the first set, you mentioned what the thing is, you know, buyer's guide or resource colon. Mm-hmm. And then what it is, and then a hint or, you know, some little addendum to that thing, which kind of, I think, is probably one of the most important pieces of the headline, because it just sort of piques my curiosity a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually sort of the most important part is at the very end, you put in parentheses, hint, colon, like the three best ones are free, or hint, you know, the very first one on this list is the one that I use, or something like that, where you pique people's interest and you don't tell them exactly what the thing is, but you tell them that that it's going to be a little bit different than what they expect. And so that's absolutely important. And everyone listening to this is probably going to want to go to the notes on this episode and actually look at these headlines, because the formatting of them is important. The way you use a colon and what you put in parentheses versus not. We've tested these extensively, and you're absolutely right that we have come up with a formula for doing these. And so we'll include kind of that formula in this course.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm even thinking right now on eBooks the Smart Way, which isn't, you know, a quick resource. It's a kind of an extensive guide, but you know, a headline for that could be something like, you know, whatever the headline might be, hint, or you know, whatever the parentheses is at the end. You can do this for under $5.
Yeah,
which is true.
Yeah,
you know, something like that would be a really quick thing I could add to my existing copy to really increase the conversions, I think. And that might be something I'll test out, although I am going through a site redesign, so I'm sort of waiting on any changes until that happens. But yeah, for those of you who have a list already and you have a lead magnet, you know, if it's one that you want to keep or you want to go with one like Clay suggests, you know, just think about your headline and how you're getting people to, you know, be curious about what it is that's on the other end.
Cool. Yeah, totally. And so actually I want everyone to take action. So I want everyone to do this. So I'm going to do something that I think is kind of cool. I want people to come up with just that one sentence headline for the resource guide that they're going to give away and leave it in the comments. And I'm going to actually pick, I'm going to pick three of them, or I'll let Pat pick three of them.
We'll pick them together.
And the three ones that we like the most, we're going to give a lifetime membership to Lead Pages, to the people who leave sort of the three best headlines for their resource guide. So you don't even have to write the opt-in or the lead magnet, like the thing that people download. I just want your headline, and we'll go from there. Sweet, and we'll give away three of these. So I think that's kind of cool.
So head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session78. You could pause this right now and put it in there if you want. I think it's a really cool exercise. And even those of you listening in the future, you know, I think, you know, how long do we want to give people after this goes live? This episode goes live, like a week?
Yeah, we can do a week.
Okay.
That's fine.
So if you're listening to this after a week since this episode goes live, I still think it'd be beneficial for you to go there and even just practice and leave your own headline, and also see, you know, we'll share our favorites, you know, in an update, the ones that win the lifetime access to Lead Pages, but you can see everybody else's there too. And I think that would be really fun and educational to go through those and kind of see what people are using for their headlines.
Yeah. And in addition, I kind of do want to incentivize people who do go through this process afterwards. So for a while, maybe for a few months, after people, when people post these, I'm going to actually respond and I'll try to give you some hints or maybe rewrite what you've written. So you'll get some free copywriting training when you go ahead and leave a comment. So and state what your thing is going to be. Just remember, don't say their ideas or steps, nothing conceptual. You're giving away tools or like specific resources, like real things, like websites, like the top websites or the top apps or the top like home loans, the top pieces of exercise equipment. Keep it concrete and real, because that's going to convert the best.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like it would be so easy to create something like that. Now, are you sure you want to do that, Clay? Because there are going to be hundreds of comments on this podcast.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. I mean, maybe you just pick a few, you know, over time.
But you know what? Maybe I'll set the window for those to be for 6 weeks. So for 6 weeks, I'll do this. It's not like I can always respond within 24 hours, but I'll make a note of every week, maybe taking, you know, a 5 to 6 hour chunk of time and just sitting down and critiquing people's headlines. And I think that's something that would add a lot of value. And so I'm happy to do this. I normally don't do this, but I love what you're doing, Pat, here, and this is a, you know, it's a huge opportunity for me. So
yeah, well, thank you, Clay. I mean, that's very, 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 very generous of you. I mean, I warned you. Everybody heard me. I warned you. But that's awesome, man. Thank you.
Totally. So I mean, my wife might get a little upset with me because she might not see me for like a couple Saturdays, but I think it'll be fun.
Definitely. Okay, so we talked about the lead magnet and the headline for that. I'm sure I'm going to speak for everybody listening. We want more tips on how to increase our conversion rates.
Totally. Okay, so let's move on. So the second thing that I'd encourage you to do, and this is a fairly quick tip, but this is something that's really helped us out, is to optimize your 404 pages. So in every website, there's a web page that you get when someone types in a URL that's wrong. And what we did, and what's really kind of helped us out, is we made our 404 page, right, the page not found page, we made that an opt-in page on our website and on our blog. And so what that means is, let me tell you the backstory behind this. Back in the day, a fairly prominent blog linked to us. And I was like, this is my shot. Like, this is awesome. This is like years ago. And I was like so excited. And yet the post went live. They emailed their list. Everything happened. And it sent every single one of those people to a 404 page because the blogger who wrote the post used the wrong URL. They screwed something up. Hmm. And by the time I went to them and asked them to fix it, it was already too late. Like, I kind of had missed the boat on that exposure. And yeah, some people went to the root of the website and some people kind of Googled and tried to find it. But most of the time when someone, you know, goes to your page and they find out that it doesn't exist anymore or that the page you're looking for doesn't exist anymore or there's an incorrect link, most of the time people just leave. And so it's a huge loss to you when this happens. So what we did is we created this this landing page template. And again, I will make the HTML for this page available to everyone. You can set it up really easy in lead pages, but we're also going to make the HTML available for download. So we'll link up to that below. But I suggest you set up a page that is your 404 page that says something like this. Okay, so I'm just going to read you the text from ours.
Cool.
404 error, oops. And then so that's the heading, and the subheading is, the page you are looking for could not be found, but don't leave empty-handed. Get this free lesson. And then you give the name of the lesson, and this is the biggest letters. Say, you know, for ours, it's free four-step tutorial, how we created a high converting lead magnet and our best performing landing page. So everyone who comes to our site, they get the wrong page. It says, hey, you know what? The page you're looking for isn't here, but don't leave empty handed. Opt in to get this, you know, this free lesson or this free report or whatever we're sort of cycling it to be at that time based on our landing pages. Now, there's probably going to be some questions about technically how to do this. So there's two ways to do this. One is you can hire a programmer to do this, maybe go on to VWorker or something like that. But this is actually a feature inside of Lead Pages where you can set your 404 page to be one of the landing pages in your account. So there's two ways of doing it. Both of those exist. So I just want to make sure everyone knows that there's multiple ways of doing this. I'm not like coercing you into doing it our way. But this is something that we've tested. The opt-in rates for these pages are very, very high, and it ensures that we don't leak any opt-ins, that we don't leak any traffic. We're capitalizing on every opportunity.
That's very, very smart. I mean, I have an optimized or quote optimized 404 page because, you know, a lot of people were finding my 404 page, and on mine I have, I'm sorry, the page you're looking for is not here. Please use the search function or the links below to help you find what you're looking for. So I have a search box in case people were looking for something, they could just type it in again to try and find it, and a list of the most popular posts, a list of the categories, and a list of the tags. And that's been working pretty good. You know, I don't lose as many people, who go on this site as opposed to if I didn't have, you know, an optimized 404 page. And I remember when I created this, I tried to do it on my own. I tried to hack WordPress and if you go into WordPress and themes and then editor and you go to your 404 page, you know, that's where you edit the code. I didn't really know what I was doing. So I had to hire somebody to do this for me. And it's so cool that Lead Pages could do this for you too. But, you know, either way will work. When the redesign comes about, I'm definitely going to put an opt-in on that page and have a lead magnet there too.
Yeah. I mean, we've experimented with different ways of doing it. One of the things we did was what you're doing, where you sort of provide a list of top articles and, you know, give people a search box and some navigation options. But what we found is that when most people come to our site and they get the 404 page, they're usually people that are new to that website and new to us. And saying, hey, you can search for something doesn't work so much, or saying, hey, you can navigate the site in this way, we found didn't, at least for us, didn't work so well because people who are coming to you for the first time don't know the core of what you have to offer. They don't know who you are. And so it kind of helps to take a little leadership and say, hey, you didn't find what you're looking for, but this is one of the highest value things that you can get out of this exchange now that you've come to our website.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what's worked for us.
Is there a way to track how many people are actually ending up on our 404 page?
You can do it in Google Analytics. I know you have a Lead Pages account, so if you just set up that 404 page in your Lead Pages account, then Lead Pages gives you analytics on all that stuff just sort of out of the box.
Okay,
so
cool.
Yeah, totally. Cool. So that's tip number two. And that's kind of a quick one, but it can be high impact and it's fairly easy to implement. So the third tip that I want to give to folks is to give something away with every blog post that you can. Give something away that people opt in for.
Something new away?
Yep, something new away. And So obviously if people, okay, so the one objection people have to this is like, why should I have the people who are on my email list, why should they have to opt in over and over and over again to get this thing I'm giving away? So the answer is that if you do give something away with a blog post, include a link to it or at least attach that file or whatever you're giving away to the email that you emailed to your list. So those people don't have to opt in again.
Okay.
But for everyone who's come to that site for the first time, have something that people can get that is custom specific to that blog post or to that piece of content. So this could be, for example, a list, like a checklist. So if you tell people how to do something, you can go into Microsoft Word and you can create a checklist based on what you taught. If you have a worksheet, if you can turn your blog post and create a summary or a worksheet that people can use, maybe in Excel, or maybe you just like type it up in whatever word processor you use. Even Google Docs will allow you to save stuff as PDFs. So you can create some sort of worksheet or an exercise based on what you talked about or what you did. You could even hire a VA to do this. Mm-hmm. If you were a health blogger, I would recommend giving away recipes that people can opt in to get. So they get the recipe there on the blog post, but if they want to like keep it on their computer, and people have this psychological need to like physically possess things, so they can always go back to your website, but if they want to download the recipe, they can enter in their email address and get that PDF. Another thing that works is, like we said, resource guides. So we talked about resource guides earlier. But honestly, one of the highest converting things we've ever given away is simply an ebook with all our blog posts in it. So we just took our existing, I guess this wouldn't work for this, that works for like a site-wide thing, but it's sort of the version of that that works in this example is if you're really at a loss for what to do, you can just take the text of your blog post, cut and paste that into a word processor and save that as a PDF and give that away. And you might be surprised. In fact, you probably will be surprised that people actually opt in to get that. But people do. So this is one of those cases where most people's intuition about whether or not this is going to work is actually wrong. Like people will opt in to download. If it's a good blog post, they will opt in to get a PDF version of that so that maybe they can put it on their Kindle or they can read it on the road or whatever's going on. Yeah, or print it out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it just seems like that would be sort of all for nothing because that blog post is already there. But I can see how it might work. And obviously the only way to know if it will is if you test it. Now, I have a couple questions here regarding this strategy. So does this mean, so I'm giving something different away with every post. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's kind of a good idea because it would just, you know, increase the sort of credibility of that post. It would have more things to go with it. You know, it's not just a blog post, but it becomes like a resource. And there's a way to get that resource, which is going through your list. And this is as opposed to just putting a link in your blog post for that.
Yep.
And if it's something that's useful, people who are on your list or people who want it will subscribe. But how does this conflict with a maybe site-wide giveaway or an opt-in form that has a lead magnet on the sidebar?
You know, it really doesn't conflict. I think that a lot of times people believe that they can only have one of these, only one opportunity to opt in. And what we found is that there are multiple like personas or types of people that come to your website that are interested in different things. So, for example, you know, when people come to lead pages, some people are interested in optimizing what they already have. So they're interested in like A/B split testing and optimization. Other people come and they're starting their business for the very first time. So they have different needs and different agendas. Other people come to our website and they know that we publish a lot of split testing data, and they're looking for the just sort of the latest of the latest of like hard experiments that have been done. And so for every website, there's different types of people that are coming to that website, and it would behoove you to have a bunch of different opportunities for each of those people to get what they want. There's no one, you know, lead magnet that you should give away as you build your business. Like, start out with a resource guide, but add stuff as you go along. And these individual posts where you're providing something to download are a great opportunity to test different types of lead magnets. So if something really works, like let's say you give away a recipe and that really, really works, you're like, well, maybe I should add another site-wide giveaway with a list of my top 10 favorite recipes. So it's a good kind of test bed for tracking what people are interested in.
Okay. Couple other questions. Actually, before I get to the questions, I mean, this just seems like it's a perfect opportunity, like with what you just mentioned, to sort of segment the type of people who are in your audience and put them on specific different lists so that you can speak to them in the language that they need, give them offers that they might need. You know, maybe you have products that are for beginners. So that's the list that those people go on, because you know that they're subscribing on those posts that you write that are more geared for beginners, and they have those beginner type giveaways. And then you have the other ones for the more experts and the more advanced people. I mean, that just seems like a perfect opportunity to do that. Now, technically speaking, and I know lead pages will do this, but you know, just, you know, even if I wasn't using lead pages, I'm trying to determine how I would be able to easily create a different giveaway with every blog post. I'd have to have a new list, right? And like, if for example, I'm an Aweber, I need to create a new list for each and every individual blog post.
Yeah, I mean, so that is kind of what complicates things a little bit from the technical perspective, is that if you're doing this without a tool like Lead Pages, for everything you give away, you have to create a new list for people to sign up for, and then you have to create a new form that's associated with that list for people to opt into, and then you have to create an email that goes out whenever someone opts into that form. And then in that email, you need to link to the digital file that maybe you've uploaded to your server or Amazon S3 or something like that. So
yeah, that's crazy.
It can get a little laborious. We actually did this for a while, and it drove me crazy. Again, you can do this without lead pages. We just told you how you have to create a new list for each opt-in bribe or lead magnet.
I mean, I think the solution would be to not maybe have a different, you know, for those who aren't into lead pages or maybe don't have the budget for it right now, it might be to have maybe just three different types of opt-ins.
Sure.
You know, one for each particular segment of your audience, perhaps. And then at the end of your blog posts, maybe have a different form, just one for each of those ones. And that way you only have to manage three instead of, you know, 60 over 60 posts.
Yeah. I mean, something that some people do to make this happen is they'll make the resource available on their thank you page. So after anyone opts in, they use the same thank you page across all of these opt-in boxes, and the thank you page has the download link for these resources.
Oh, and it has even all the previous ones that were mentioned.
Yeah, so it has. So like, it's a monster list of everything. The problem with it, and it's okay. Like, this is an okay. Yeah, this is a serviceable solution.
Right.
The problem with this is that because these lead magnets aren't delivered via email, it's possible for someone to get them all without opting in. So they just opt in, and then the thank you page sends them to a huge downloadable list of everything. And then if someone gets that URL with all the things, they can share it on a forum and everyone can download it. Now, that's not the worst thing that can happen. It's not like, oh, everyone got them without opting in. Like, it's not the worst thing that can happen, but it's not the best solution either.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just trying to think if there's any other technical solutions. I like the thank you page idea. And like you said, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And hopefully those resources would be good enough where people who get them, even not the legit way, would come back to your site anyway, if they were created in that sort of way. I mean, you want people to get them, obviously. I think what's really cool about this idea of giving something different away with every single blog post, you know, worksheet or something like that, is that once you start doing this, you know, and people start noticing that you're doing this after every blog post, they're going to be really excited about your next one. And they're going to keep coming back, you know, a lot of times in particular, just to see what that giveaway might be.
Yeah, we started with our own blog. We started occasionally giving away landing page templates, like HTML versions of some of these. Not all of them, but once in a while we'd give one away. And we found that people started coming back every single time we published a blog post just to find out if we were giving another one away. And the opt-in rate for these custom opt-ins for blog posts is the highest we've ever seen. So what I've told you about before is sort of like our highest converting pages for like a global opt-in across the entire site. But these custom opt-ins for individual blog posts, the conversion rate on these is like the highest from just a raw percentage point of view. These are the highest because it's custom tailored to that content. It's not like here's some general thing that may or may not be the reason why you came to this blog post in the first place. But if you have something that's like specific to that blog post, everyone who gets to the end of it will likely want it, right? Or a high percentage of them at least will. Right. So it's a way of providing like laser targeted value and coupling that with your list growth.
Cool. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to experiment with that actually. And awesome. Now that, you know, I have a lead pages account and this allows me to easily do it, I definitely will try it out.
Cool. And yeah, so that's awesome. And just for everyone, like I just want to be upfront here for everything we're describing. I think Pat's done a really good job of or at least we have collaboratively of saying sort of like the sort of a normal way to do it. And then we've also mentioned lead pages as well. But nothing we're talking about here requires lead pages. We've just automated some of this. So the fourth tip, are you ready to move to the fourth tip?
Yeah. I mean, just going off of what you just said, I mean, that's why you built lead pages, just to make this easier. I mean, but you don't have to have it because I don't want this to seem like it's a sales pitch or anything, I have four pages of notes already based off of what we talked about, and I'm sure there's going to be more. So let's move on to the next tip for optimizing conversions.
Yeah, totally. And for everyone listening, like we're giving away sort of the worksheets and all these HTML pages. So I pray to God you get enough value. So
dude, like there's way plenty of value in this podcast already, let alone all the giveaways you're giving away. So
awesome. So the next thing is that you should start doing webinars. So here's the thing about webinars. Whether or not you ever get anyone to show up on a webinar, ever, if nobody ever shows up on a webinar you do, and even if webinars don't explicitly grow your business, right? Like even if nobody kind of like buys your thing on a webinar, or even if it doesn't generate any new business in and of itself, you should still start doing webinars, because webinars as a category of landing page, as a category of landing pages, webinars on our platform outperform everything. Our top performing webinar registration page is getting an average of 54% in terms of the conversion rate. And that's across thousands of customers, hundreds of thousands of page views. 54%. And this includes, this average that I'm telling you includes lots of newbies who don't know how to write copy. It also includes people who've written a lot of copy. But right now, according to the, you know, hundreds of thousands of opt-ins that we've generated and all the conversion that we have, all the data we have across our entire platform, nothing is out-converting webinar registration pages. So you should do them, even if no one ever attends. Even if they don't grow your business in any way, you should do them to grow your audience, period.
Yeah, and you and I are going to do one together this week, actually.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it.
And we're going to use lead pages to set that page up, actually. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I know, everything you've just said, I've heard thousands of times before. We've had Lewis Howes on the show before talking about the power of webinars and actually going through the process of actually conducting a webinar. So, you know, for those of you who actually set up a webinar and actually get people to come on, you'd want to listen to episode 29 with Lewis Howes. He goes over all that stuff. Really, really actionable items there for sure. But, you know, keep talking about webinars. I mean, what is it? Is it industry specific? I mean, I think some people might not even know what to do in a webinar.
So my core message that I just said is like, do them even if you don't know what to do. But here's what to do with them. Like, even if you don't know what to do on a webinar, that's okay. I recommend that you just bite the bullet and just teach something on a webinar. Just answer people's questions, even if you just do a Q&A. That will help you out, because in this day and age on the internet, when else do you have an hour to have someone's attention and to directly answer their questions? It's rare. It's rare that someone will say, I'm going to set aside an hour for this. I'm going to get on and I'm just going to pay attention to this. The only way to replicate this is by putting on a live event. And Pat, as you know, putting on live events, it's super expensive to do, especially if you're just getting started. So Right. Sort of the inexpensive way to do this and to get that level of engagement and to connect with your audience at a deep level that can only benefit you financially is by doing webinars. And kind of the biggest reason to do these, for at least for people who are getting started, the biggest reason to do these is because it is the cure-all for content block or writer's block. If you say you're going to deliver some value and you set a specific day and time and you invite people to show up, even if only 10 people sign up, that's 10 people that have blocked that off on their calendar that are going to show up, and it is rude of you to not deliver. So at that time, at that pre-agreed time, you need to stand there and you need to do something. And what I recommend people do is use this, again, to maybe create a lead magnet or maybe create a course that they're going to sell later. So record it. So take the webinar, invite people, record it, and then based on that recording, maybe you can have that recording transcribed. Maybe you can have a worksheet created from this. And even if it's not something that you might want to sell, it's something that you can give away. You know, it's something that so many people have trouble just sort of like standing and they're nervous all. And this is a great way to sort of, it's a great motivation hack to getting you to actually produce.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think having the specific time and date and, you know, once you see registrants start to come in, or, you know, sign up for the list, it's definitely a huge motivator to get stuff done. Absolutely. And then recording it and using it later, whether it's going to be something you sell or something for free, maybe it is a lead magnet, I don't know, is a great idea. And I know somebody who's been really successful at that, and that's Cliff Ravenscraft from podcastanswerman.com. Nice. If you go to learnhowtopodcast.com, his video tutorial that will help you walk through exactly how to set up a podcast was actually taken from a webinar, I believe. And he just he cut it up into chunks so it was more easily manageable and people can, you know, watch one video at a time instead of the whole 2-hour thing. It's been tremendous and absolutely has helped his bottom line, because he uses that to help promote his podcasting A to Z course, which is a $2,000 podcasting course. And it's sold out almost every time. And it has 100% success rate, which is pretty incredible. But that's a side thing.
Cool.
But yeah, webinars definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a whole lot of things built into a webinar that's really powerful. Like, one is the content block, the writer's block. But another thing is that when you do a webinar, you can't edit yourself. And so I know a lot of people who've tried to create like courses or video courses or things like that, and they get stuck because nobody's there. And they'll say something wrong, and then they'll like re-record, and then they'll re-record, and then they'll edit, and they'll re-record. And next thing you know, they've produced like 15 minutes of content, and it's taken them 2 hours. Right. When you do a webinar, like, you just have to power through that. and it removes all excuses. And you end up almost always producing something better than you could ever have thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool in that regard. So one of the things, here's what we found by doing webinars that's really kind of, I think it's kind of groundbreaking, honestly, from a conversion point of view. We started experimenting a while ago with two-step opt-in boxes. And this is huge. On the majority of our webinar registration pages, you do not see the opt-in box when you first go there. And you only see the opt-in box when you click a button that says, click here to claim your spot. So you click on that button, and then immediately a pop-up appears where you can opt in. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why this works, why not allowing people to opt in initially creates on average around a 30% increase in opt-in rates.
Sorry,
Pat, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what happened. I breathed air the wrong way for some reason. Anyway, I'll keep that in there. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
Okay, just let me get this straight because I was kind of coughing when I was listening to you. Oh, that was weird. oh, gosh. Okay. Sorry. Maybe I will edit this out. It's kind of crazy. But you're saying instead of showing, you know, at the point of where an opt-in would happen or people would fill in their name and email, there would be no fields. It would just be a button that says click here to get whatever or click here to subscribe.
Yeah. So you actually put that opt-in box one layer deep. And I kind of had the idea for this when I was at a swap meet and I was asking about a t-shirt and I saw like the smalls and the large, but I didn't see a medium. And I was kind of interested in that t-shirt, but not like incredibly. So I went to the person, I said, do you have this in medium? And the second I did that, he reached below the table and he handed me a rolled up medium t-shirt. And I was like, oh, and it kind of just shocked me that I just said, hey, do you have this in medium? And then bam, he gave it to me in medium and I bought it because there was this thing where I just said, do you have this in medium? He put it in my hands and I was like, oh, and if that shirt were just there immediately on the table, I probably would have browsed and saw it and like second guessed it and then like maybe walked away. But I bought it. And what I've found is that when people go to a website or a web page, they make an immediate determination about whether or not it's a giving page or a taking page. And when you have an opt-in box immediately there from the second someone arrives, it looks like you have your hand out. And so by only offering people the opportunity to opt in after they've asked for it, you just get a dramatic increase in opt-in rates. So there's a whole lot of reasons for this. Again, one reason is that it creates a yes ladder. So if someone's willing to say yes at a pretty low level of commitment by clicking the button, the likelihood that they're going to say yes to opting in is much greater. If you can get someone to commit to clicking a button, then the likelihood that when you immediately show them the opt-in box that they're going to opt in is just raised because they're kind of in this like pattern of behaving. There's kind of like this behavioral momentum that's established. Another thing is that it just creates urgency. Like when you're at a web page and there's an opt-in box, you can decide. Like you can browse around that page and just decide to leave or you can ignore the opt-in box altogether. But when you click that button that says click here to claim your spot and the opt-in box appears in a little pop-up right there, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision whether or not you're going to opt in. You can't say, you know, hey, maybe I'll ignore this or maybe I'll read some more text. Like you have to decide right then whether or not you want to opt in. And if everyone who visited your website was forced to make a decision about whether or not they want to opt in, your opt-in rate would go through the roof. People don't opt into your list because they haven't made a decision about whether or not they want to. So 100% of the people who don't make a decision about whether or not they want to opt into your list will not opt into your list.
Right. I mean, it just sounds like, you know, the language you just used sounds almost like a pop-up, right? Where a pop-up, you know, comes up out of the middle of nowhere and asks you for your name and email to subscribe to get something, right? However, the difference with this is you have them taking, you know, clicking a button before that happens.
Right.
Which is huge. And I think that might be the perfect solution, actually. Although, and I will say, and a lot of people out there listening know this who are a little bit experienced, you know, we often hear the more steps required to do something, the less likely someone is to complete the task.
Yep.
But this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of so with regards to the pop-up, I know there's a lot of like a lot of people have a bad taste in the mouth when they hear the word pop-up. So there's a difference between the pop-up that interrupts you when you're trying to read a blog article, and then this pop-up appears and it's like opt in, and you're like, I was just trying to read this article.
Right.
There's a difference between that and a pop-up appearing the second you ask for it. And so that's the difference here. And in terms of the multi-step thing, there's lots of instances in marketing where actually adding more steps increases conversion rate. So a good example of that is the launch, where you drip out content over time, people watch those videos, and then eventually the product is for sale. Mm-hmm. Also, on like sales pages, we found that when you just embed the order form in the sales page and it's immediately available, like you go to the sales page and you immediately see the order form, that lowers conversion rates. But by putting that info on like the add to cart page, that increases it. Also, I mean, there's kind of a dating analogy here too. Like if, back when I was in college, if I went to a bar and I just went up to someone, I was like, hey, can I have your phone number? And then do you want to make out with me? And, you know, that would just be like creepy. But if you talk with them first, you engage in a conversation, then maybe you add some value. And then at the end, maybe you ask them for your phone number, for their phone number. And then, you know, maybe you have a date. But if you try and like close the deal on the very first date, and I don't mean that in kind of a perverted way, but if you try to like accomplish everything you want to with regards to the opposite sex, like at that, when you first go up to them, like that's just not going to turn out very well.
I love the language you're using just to keep it clean. It's so funny. I love the analogy. I know what you were trying to say there.
And there's kind of a, this, you know, there's a poor man's way to do this. So, you know, with everything we're doing here, like just take it for granted that if I know something that's going to increase conversions, I'm going to put it in my software. So don't hold that against me. But the sort of like an alternative way to do this, to just add another step, is to on the side of your blog, rather than just have an opt-in box that's immediately there, you might have a banner that offers something of value. And when people click on that, they go to another web page where they can opt in, right? So the conversion rate on, as a percentage of people that go to, that click on that banner on the side and go to the page, like those people are going to opt in at a much higher rate than people who just see the opt-in box and it's always there. So they start reading the article, and from the second they start reading an article on your blog, they've started ignoring that opt-in box. And they have this experience, and then, but if you have a banner there that offers something cool, they might decide to click on that, and then you take them to an opt-in page. And so I'd say this is something to split test. We actually have both. We have an opt-in box on our sidebar of our blog that's kind of below the fold, but we also have a banner that offers something of value. And when people click on that banner, they end up going to a page where they can opt in, and that page gets us the majority of the opt-ins on our website.
Right. I think the excuse me, the opt-in form on the sidebar is sort of for like the low-hanging fruit. You know, right. The people that are there who come to the site who are going to subscribe anyway. And that's how you capture them. Just make it incredibly easy for them to do so without, you know, the least steps possible. But, you know, I can tell you, my sidebar opt-in form has an extremely low conversion rate compared to the ones that are on specific landing pages that I have that are currently not set up through lead pages, because I just started getting the software and started using it. And for example, if you go to eBooks the Smart Way, it's, quote, a landing page. I mean, it has a lot of elements that shouldn't be on there, like, you know, the navigation bar and a lot of other distracting things. But that particular page, when people land on it and they get there from either listening to the podcast or clicking on a button that is on a post somewhere, the conversion rate's like 75%.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's incredible. That's insane.
And it could probably be even higher if I were to optimize it or have a better lead magnet, perhaps. But yeah, that is awesome. I mean, there's so many great tips here. So as far as the quote poor man's way to do the two-step opt-in, I mean, I like that idea of the banner ad. I mean, there's probably a way for someone to create a script or something too, right? Or there might even be something out there, a WordPress plugin even perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen different things that you can do, like, you know, you can have a link that when someone clicks on it, it triggers JavaScript that then makes an opt-in thing available. So a lot of people at the end of blog posts say, hey, you know, did you enjoy this article? Why not opt in to get more? If you actually took away that opt-in box and said, and just had some text that said, hey, enjoy this article, want to get more information, you know, click here to get updates whenever we put them out. And when they clicked on that button, if boom, immediately that triggered some JavaScript that made the entire opt-in box there available. Then, you know, there's different ways of doing it. But the tip is that you don't have the opt-in box available immediately, but there is a call to action to get something. And when people click on that, immediately the opt-in box appears.
Yeah,
so
I
that's
love
sort
that.
Of what makes it happen.
I want to test that in the new design for sure. I think that makes complete sense. And I'll definitely report on those numbers. Now, I know a lot of you listening are listening to all this and are probably getting jazzed about it, but there's also some probably missing elements because a lot of what Clay is talking about is very visual, you know, and you almost have to kind of see it in action to understand exactly how it works. Although a lot of the stuff here can already be applied. And again, we're hoping that you go to smartpassiveincome.com/session78 and leave a comment there with your updated headline for your lead magnet. But this is the reason why Clay and I want to get onto a webinar. Now, if you're listening to this in the future, a replay will be available, but I will tell you that for those of you who are going to be on, if you're listening to this before the webinar goes live, there's going to be a special gift for you that we're going to give away just at the tail end of the webinar there, which I'll talk about, you know, leading up to the webinar anyway later. But, you know, Clay, I'm so excited to have you on that webinar because we're going to go and talk about even more strategies. I mean, we're already an hour and a half into this podcast, so I want to sort of close it up because we obviously have a lot to talk about and a lot more to talk about, which we could do visually on the webinar, which is going to be Thursday, August 29th at 6 p.m. Pacific. And we're doing a second one, actually, so we can get more people on there in different time zones, August 30th, 11 a.m. Pacific time. And the registration links will be at smartpassiveincome.com/session78, and you can get all the downloads there too.
I mean, what's cool about a webinar, I mean, podcasts are great because you can like listen while you're driving, but what's cool about a webinar is I can get in here and I can show you stats from our business and I can show you all the pages and you can kind of sit there and watch all this as it's happening and we can have the visual element perfectly correlated with what's being talked about. And so I think, you know, a good way to approach this is actually doing like a workshop where we'll actually create some of these things live as we're doing the webinar. So you'll come away with a work product.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome. And a lot of you know now, because I published a blog post about this just the other day, that I just published my coming soon sort of pre-launch page to build buzz for my food trucker site. And it's just going to be, you know, a matter of optimizing that page and driving traffic to it, which I'll be talking about in the next coming weeks before the main site goes live. It's supposed to be going live September 16th, 2013. So a lot of exciting stuff happening. Clay, are there any final words you want to say? I mean, obviously, you've given us a lot already. You know, check out lead pages. My affiliate link for that is smartpassiveincome.com/lead pages. But of course, you can go on the webinar to get a sort of demo of what that might look like. And also just for more strategies, just like what Clay mentioned today. Any final words, Clay?
Yeah, I'd say that you know, we've talked a lot about stuff here and lots of conversion rates and numbers and things like that. But I really want to encourage everyone to just make that resource guide lead magnet. Leave the title in the comments below. I'll critique it if I can, if it's within a few months. And it'll be at a fairly high frequency at first. I'll go in and review everyone's. But later, I'll catch up, you know, from time to time. But just go and do that. Just go and create your headline. So, you know, free report reveals the top three, pieces of exercise equipment for, losing weight or getting more energy, like whatever version of that you can create for your market. Create that today, okay? Create it before the sun goes down. Write your headline and write your list of resources. And it doesn't have to be in a crazy list. You can literally just list them on a page, like just give the title and a link. And those can actually be affiliate links if you want to as well. So I would just encourage everyone listening to this, before you go to bed tonight, write your headline for your page and write just in a Word document, write down the four things or five resources that you want to tell your audience or your potential audience about, save it, and just start implementing. Just implement, just if that nothing else, just implement that thing alone.
Awesome. And for the comments, all we need is your headline. We don't need links or anything.
Right.
If there are links, then it's going to be held in moderation, which we don't want to happen. So just the headline there. But like Clay said, take action, create that resource, think of those top tools and resources, and make stuff happen. I mean, this is awesome. I mean, I bet so many people are going to see a huge increase in opt-in rates. And like we were talking about, bringing this all the way back to the beginning, you know, it's a lot harder to double your traffic. It's a lot easier to double your conversion rates, especially when you're just starting out and you have yet to optimize things.
Yep, absolutely. And remember, everyone who gets on your list later is someone who can tweet and share and promulgate your stuff on social media. So this is actually an amazing traffic strategy as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. So if people want to find out more about, I know you have a fantastic blog. I'm on your list, Clay. Where should they go?
You know what? I want to track. See, I track everything I talk about. So I want to track everything from this. So just go to leadpages.net/Pat. And you can find out more. We also have a blog at blog.leadpages.net.
Okay. Do you mind if I link leadpages.net/Pat on the show notes?
I would love it if you did that.
Okay, I will do that. All right, buddy. Thank you so much for coming on. A lot of value in this podcast. Thank you so much. And check out the downloads and all the fancy resources and stuff that Clay has generously given us at smartpassiveincome.com/session78. Have a wonderful day, Clay.
You too, Pat. Thanks so much.
Man, I'm just completely blown away from this interview. I just actually re-listened to the whole thing to make sure I get all the show notes. That's what I do. I re-listen to the whole episode, and I just learned even more the second time around here. Hopefully, I've been able to compile the notes for you at smartpassiveincome.com/session78. So you can go there and get a recap of all the tips, and also go there and download all the goodies and giveaways and HTML files and headlines and all those things that Clay mentioned he was going to give. Also, you can register for the upcoming webinars, which are going to be again on August 29th at 6 p.m. Pacific, and again Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, so that you can, we got even more strategies to share, and it's going to be a little workshop. You'll be able to see things happening visually. I mean, this is just so cool. I've actually already implemented a lot of these strategies since recording this session a couple weeks ago with Clay on my food trucker site. I have created a lead magnet using the tip about creating just a list of resources. It didn't take very long to put together. We are testing various headlines, and we're going to be driving traffic to that landing page that we have, which is, again, set up through Lead Pages. And I'll be talking all about that in detail in the future when I get into more Niche Site Duel 2.0 posts. And I can't wait to share that stuff because things are moving along. That page is live and things are happening. And yeah, I just can't wait to see you on the webinar. Again, head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session78. You rock. Thank you so much for sticking around. You are the best. I hope you got some value out of this. I know I did, listening to Clay when we were talking together and then re-listening to this again. Just great stuff. Thank you so much for all the kind and honest reviews. If you have any comments, questions, go to the blog post, and I hope to read your headline so you can have a chance to win a lifetime copy of Lead Pages, which is crazy, which is huge. And there's three chances available. Leave that headline on the blog post, and Clay is going to read them all. I'm going to read them all, and Clay is going to be more than happy to, at least for a little bit, comment and help you structure your headline so it's as optimized as possible. All right, that's enough. I will talk to you in the next session, or actually hopefully see you on the webinar or on the replay if you're watching this in the future. All right, take care. Thanks. Love you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days. And it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3 times credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at hertz.com/business rewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit hertz.com/business rewards to learn more. Hey, have you ever wondered what makes the difference between a 1 and a 5-star review? Well, turn into Behind the Review, a phenomenal podcast from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Yelp's small business expert, Emily Wojcikovic, features a different conversation with a different reviewer or business owner to find out what was really going on, as the title suggests, behind the review. Recently, for example, Emily featured an episode about Aldea Country Eatery, the number 5 spot in the world on Yelp's top 100 places to eat. Emily interviews a wide variety of customers and business owners from a wide variety of industries, tabletop gaming companies, the fitness industry, you name it. This is a really fascinating peek into what makes a great customer experience for any business, and you won't want to miss out. So listen to Behind the Review right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.